Welcome to Real Flix Reviews, like a book club for people who hate reading. This week's our theater pick, so we picked the movie Ant-Man, made in 2015. We bring you movie news, and this week we have Jonathan Charney and James Hello. Stevens. It's the Gruesome Twosome. So
that's all you, my IMDb just crashed.
Well, I'm glad I have brought it up. For once, it's not my iPad. It's okay. So it says, armed with a super suit with astonishing ability to shrink in scale but increasing in strength, cat burglar Scott Lang must embrace his inner hero and help his mentor, Dr. Hank Pym, plan and pull off a heist that will save the world. I gotta say, I'm so happy they didn't have Hank Pym be the main character in this movie, because I actually generally dislike that character.
He hates Michael Douglas.
Who doesn't?
You saw Falling Down. That was a good movie.
Okay, true. I got to give you credit for
you
that.
You didn't like the game?
But I'm... shut up. I got to say, though, I do like the fact that he's not the main character, because I don't know if Paul Rudd's character is an actual comic book character, is a book character,
no,
or
yeah, I never paid attention.
But I do like the fact that it's just a different character. I like that.
How'd you like seeing Corey Stahl, the guy who was playing Senator whatever in the series that we just finished, House of Cards?
Yeah, yeah, and he was also in Borden Legacy and all that. Yeah. I liked his character.
I thought it was a nice little change for him.
I gotta say, though, since I saw House of Cards, my first thought was like, guy just seems like a little bitch.
Get out of the bottle.
So, yeah, no, but I actually thought he did really good.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was interesting, though. I was doing some reading about this. His suit was, like, completely CGI.
The entire thing that he was wearing?
Yeah, basically. It was motion capture, where the super suit, the Ant-Man suit, apparently was a more physical effect.
Wear it. I got you. Okay. So you're saying Corey Stahl's suit, the yellow jacket,
yeah.
was...
Yeah, it was, you know, it was kind of like...
I could see that now.
It's like Tony... It's Tony... But this plays Tony Stark. For some reason, I can't remember his actual
Iron
name.
Man?
Like the...
Robert Downey Jr.?
Thank you. Part of his suit was actually real, but the rest was motion capture.
Hmm.
So it's probably easier than having to print out or manufacture suits that'll get ripped, like the Catgirl suit.
You just buy a freaking 3D printer.
A big 3D printer.
Come on, guys. It's Hollywood out there. If you guys haven't gotten and bought a 3D printer, you guys are losing a lot of money. On million-dollar you guys are dumb.
Well, that's how they get Robert Downey Jr., all those fancy suits.
Well, I enjoy the fact that a lot of them do contract out to companies who manufacture guns and artillery, things like that. That's you don't want to do CGI on that. I mean, if you fire, you're going to get one shot, so that's a lot of printing.
Off the rails already.
So, you know, but things like that, like mask and helmets and bodysuits and things like that, you just need to 3D print it.
I was kind of thinking about...
And spray paint it.
I was kind of thinking about that. I think for the yellow jacket suit, I actually think motion capture was probably the better thing for it, because realistically, it's... I don't know.
It's not going to function very well with everything. Yeah,
he's not really in it all that much.
Spoiler alert.
But if you've watched the show.
I'm also kind of thinking, like, you know, I guess for, like, the things overhead and stuff like that, I could understand that being like that. But I guess CGI is to the point where it doesn't look as off. Because if you watch the old ones where they kind of, like, actually did paint on the stills, I forget what it's actually called right now, but, you know.
Like rotoscoping.
Yeah, the rotoscope stuff like that. If the character moved and that didn't flow very well,
like
if
the original, like the lightsabers in Star Wars,
exactly
when they actually hire people and do the colors over the negatives.
So you know that kind of stuff. Like if you guys haven't watched, if somebody out there hasn't actually seen the old ones before they redid it, what in late 90s or
mid
90s,
yeah,
early 2000s when they redid it with the CGI and everything like that, you could actually tell, like, the sound stick would move, and then there would be a little bit of the color that didn't follow it very well.
So you guys, you know the ones they called, you know, their New Hope and all that now. Well, originally were called Special Editions, and then it was the theatrical version. So if you don't know it, actually
And A New Hope actually was originally called Star Wars.
It was. Just like the first Alien movie is actually Alien, not Aliens.
Yeah, that's what, you know, I remember the first time, like, somebody was asking me, like, have you ever seen Star Wars The New Hope? I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Star Wars?
I'm not the only one who wondered about that.
I was like, when the hell did they change the name?
So to kind of get back on track. On Ant-Man, one of the things I actually liked is, I liked the fact they had, what was that?
That was my phone, I didn't.
Oh, so I actually really liked the fact they had Michael Douglas, Hank Pym, be a mentor slash side character, because I actually thought it brought a little bit more depth to the movie, because it talked about why he had to recruit Paul Rudd, Scott Lang, to be Ant-Man, because he couldn't. I do wish that they went into more depth, because they did say that it brings issues, but I didn't think there was.
Yeah, he didn't really. He just kind of said, like, wearing the suit too long causes physical and mental strain is kind of what he hinted at. He didn't really go into exactly what that meant. And I kind of thought it was interesting that they brought Wasp Girl
in
the way that, yeah, the way that they did. But
I liked that. I actually really liked that one.
That wasn't it. That was his daughter.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the original, his wife.
Yeah. Hank Pym's wife.
Yeah, how she
brought
died.
Wasp Girl. He didn't really say she died. She got kind of trapped in that altar.
That's true. What was it called? It was a subdomain or, yeah.
Yeah, it was that, but it was
a flashback.
It's theoretical physics is really what it is.
It was that acid flashback Paul Rudd got stuck in the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Spoiler, but, well, you know, hell.
He got back out, but, you know, it kind of hints that she's still in there type thing and that there is hope.
True. No, true. I also do like the way they brought in Evangeline Lilly's character as kind of like this tough type A chick. And I actually thought that was somewhat refreshing because, I mean, A, it is kind of stereotypical and a little bit of an archetype, but I actually thought they played off really well versus this really goofy Paul Rudd character.
Yeah. Yeah, he was kind of goofy. I mean, I understand kind of, it was actually Haley Lovett. Is who played the Wasp in
the original?
Like, one, no, right there.
That's the character. Oh, she acted, okay.
She was only in the whole entire movie for maybe a minute.
If,
at best.
If that.
But I am glad that somebody actually did give her credit for it. I didn't actually sit down and watch all the credits. They get a lot into some theoretical stuff, which is kind of interesting and kind of not.
Well, I got to say, the way they introduced it, at least it kept you interested, and it wasn't like, you know, paying attention to like a high school physics or college physics class or science class, you know?
Yeah, which is kind of how the damn Ant-Man character always is. If you actually have watched anything, and I haven't read the comic books, but I have seen
stuff where they brought in
Ant-Man a few times, and it's always like, you know, you just threw a bunch of us, and what?
He reminds me of Mr. Fantastic, just not as interesting.
Yeah. And,
hopefully,
you know,
you
the one that I kind of thought they could have passed on was the Three Stooges is what you would kind of call them. His little...
Michael Pena?
Yeah, those guys. You know, it's kind of like you got the Mexican, you got the Russian, or Ukrainian, or Eastern European dude, and then you got this other guy. I forget who the other guy was. But they were just really throwaway characters.
So you had Michael Pena, who played Lewis. I think it was David... I'm never going to say that name. Dashmich something. Kurt, and you had Dave.
Dotson.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I... See, I guess the one thing I really liked, I think that was...
Is his name really T.I.? T.I.?
For some
really?
Reason, I think he's a rapper, but I
he's
could be wrong.
Be. I have no idea.
I gotta say, the one thing I really liked about this is this was a Marvel movie that didn't take itself too seriously. What I thought the Avengers 2 took itself way too serious, and in my opinion, even Avengers 1 did a little bit. I like the goofiness of this, but it wasn't goofy enough to make me go... You know,
I think what they did is they tried to, and this is just my theory, and I'm gonna see what you guys kind of think. Is they kind of try to throw in a little bit of Iron Man-esque, and then try to have some wannabe comedy relief like Guardians.
No, I
and
totally,
they threw it together
totally.
And said, let's try to take this kind of boring story of Ant-Man, and it is a boring story, guys. It really
he goes,
is.
The character itself goes kind of little... Hank Pym goes crazy in the comics.
Yeah, it's kind of a boring story until... Yeah, like you said, when, it's kind of a boring story and they try to lighten it up. And they and I think to some level they were successful.
No, no,
to be honest.
I totally agree. It's funny. I think Hank Ant-Man is such a throwaway character in the cartoons movies. There's one and two. In the second one, they kill him off and he's Giant Man or, you know, something like that. He doesn't he's afraid to get smaller. So no, totally.
He like grows big. He figures out how to make his suit like really big and it's like okay. Gigantaman.
I do have to admit, at least I actually thought they did a pretty good mix of bringing the two in, because I really like how goofy this was personally. Especially the fight. I love the fight in that little girl's room when you had Thomas the Tank.
That was entertaining.
Or that giant ant that she ended up feeding.
But I gotta say, in that whole entire scene where she's sitting there and she's watching her little choo-choo train going, doo, 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 pew, pew, pew. Why didn't she get her ass up and run out of the room?
I don't know. My first thought is, why didn't she sneak behind him and just go...
Yeah, I mean, there was like a lot of options there. You know, I did think the bug zapper thing was hilarious, though. I gotta say, that was actually fitting, even though I was kind of thinking like Wasp Girl. But I thought that was pretty amusing. That was probably the most amusing thing in the entire film, other than him trying to like jump through the door. And that was understandable. It was kind of like that. Yeah, I kind of saw that coming a bunch of times, you know, but it kind of got a little amusing, you know. And then when he finally gets through, he still runs into something, you know, but it was kind of like, okay. And then the fact that the chick's like all of a sudden MMA freaking Ronda Rousey, you know, it's like,
oh,
really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Evangeline. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, they kind of showed it when he was kicking.
It's like I didn't see it coming.
Oh, totally. I mean, they showed how badass she was, you know, when she was kicking Paul Rudd's ass. And it was like, you guys are giving it away a little bit. But
yeah, it's like...
But I got to say, though, I actually like the cast, though. I mean, has Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas,
no, the cast
Corey
is really
Stahl,
good.
Evangeline Lilly.
It was actually nice to see Michael Douglas doing something like this again.
And something...
I like Michael Douglas. I don't think he's... he's not my favorite actor. He's not even in the, like... top 20, but I do enjoy seeing some of the older actors coming out and still doing some good jobs.
I like this one because it's totally more of a relaxed character, which sometimes I don't think all of his characters are.
Michael Douglas not playing a relaxed character, are you sure?
I mean, like falling down.
Like, you can't name any that he was, you know?
Not off the top of my head, can you?
Hell no. Jesus.
You got Anthony,
have you
Anthony
looked at Mackie? His career?
That's why I kind of said what I said. But
I don't know. I could probably find one.
But I was really impressed by this. I'm trying to think. There was another. Oh, the tank.
The tank.
That was
pretty
cool. Funny. He grabbed his keys.
I still saw it coming.
Oh, yeah.
But it was still kind of cool that he actually did do it, because I'm like, come on. I would like to see that.
Because I actually remember when he grabbed his keys the first time you saw it. I'm like, oh,
King of California.
It
was only, you know,
I remember,
8 years ago.
I remember when I saw that. It's like, oh, it's going to be a tank, and then boom, here it is. But it's cool.
Yeah.
So where do you think this is going to go? Because this, if I remember correctly, this is the end of Phase 2 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Phase 3 should bring you people like Doctor Strange, which personally is one I'm looking forward to.
I've been looking forward to that one for a very long time.
Because he's like James, he's like one of my favorite characters.
Pretty much King of California, Michael Douglas's role.
I think to jump ahead a little bit, I do think, and oddly, I think... talk about a different movie. Doctor Strange, though, is going to be very psychedelic, I think. And I think that's going to be the one thing, because it's everybody's going to think, dude, I'm having a flashback.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I think still, you know, they did not pick the actor I think would be perfect for Doctor Strange.
Oh, they picked Cumberbatch, right?
Yeah, but I think they're putting too much faith in Cumberbatch. You know, I really want to see you do a good job, Benedict. I really do, but I think they should have gone with Daniel Day-Lewis. I am dead set on that.
Like,
he is perfect for that role, and you guys passing him up, it disappoints me.
Well, like I said in a previous episode, I want him to do it just so when the camera's not rolling, I want him to go, I am the Sorcerer Supreme! You know, I would pay for footage.
I mean, if you've watched the cartoon movie, if you've read the comic books, which
off
I was a big, big fan of the comic books a long time ago, I mean, everything I've seen Daniel Day-Lewis do, besides the fact that his face, his body, his hair, everything fits the character. besides that, he has the gap to do it. He does.
The only, I mean, and you totally see why he doesn't has he slowed down on movies. I actually don't think he's made one after Lincoln. I mean, you totally see why, because he's one of those guys that gets way too in the role. So I could see that be being taxing. There's one thing
being
Taxing, excuse me.
I hate that movie.
Ugh. why'd you bring it up? I do wish, though, and I do wish I actually knew more about the Ant-Man, because I noticed there were a ton of references in this, at least references, but I didn't get any of them. Like,
yeah, there had to have been. But you know, I don't really care about Ant-Man.
Well, I actually,
can we do the Black Panther?
Oh, he's gonna be in one of them. He's coming.
I know he is. But can we jump on that one?
I don't know. I'm excited about it. I was excited about it because it's another Marvel movie, and just like the fact I keep buying Halo video games, I'm going to keep seeing the Marvel Universe
movies. I've seen
movies.
The Halo movies. They're pretty good, actually.
Too bad most of the games...
Can you see? I just keep on going.
Too bad most of the games aren't. It's like, you should see our normal conversations. So what do you give this? I mean, because I...
You know, I give it... You know, I'm not going to go below a 3. I don't think it deserves a 3.5 or a 2.5. I got to give it a 3. I mean, it's middle ground. It was better than I was expecting it to be, which, I mean, step above Aquaman. Come on. I'm honest. He comes out and he's, like, knocking Superman out. Actually, you guys, I want to know. Fans of Superman out there, I want you guys to write out a list of superheroes who have not beat the crap out of Superman.
Crap. First, it's me talking crap about Star Wars last week. Now it's James talking crap
about Suits. Bring it on. Come on with somebody who has not beat the crap out of Superman at one point. And okay. I'm talking about bad guys and good guys.
I'm going to have to mute you. I do. I'll be honest.
Aquaman has.
I do think it's a
How much of a puss are you if you get knocked out by Aquaman?
I do have to say it's a tad bit cruel to place Ant-Man anywhere near Aquaman. I mean, maybe Adamant, but Aquaman, that's a little cruel. I mean, that's like Nintendo 64 Superman game low.
I don't care.
But no, I totally agree with you. I give it a...
You agree with me? Oh, totally. It's as bad as Aquaman.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I think the movie itself is a 3 out of 5. To me, I could have given it a 3.5 for some of the extras, but, you know, the 3 out of 5 was good. I mean, I did like the scene in the bedroom, like I said, but it's a strong 3 out of 5 for me. All
right.
And what we're doing for our TV shows, what we decided to do is, since it's coming up...
Like my Apple phone?
Since it's coming up on TV season, where a lot of the shows start off and you get new pilots, we've decided what we're going to do is we're going to review a pilot for you. And the new, what we're doing this week.
This is released, what, Sunday?
Yeah, this is.
So this is really new. This is fresh. Pilot episode was this week, so.
It's called Fear the Walking Dead. And apparently this got a huge audience. I actually had the numbers, but
it was record-breaking audience. And this one, if you guys don't know anything about it, this is a kind of a spin-off. This is a spin-off of The Walking Dead.
It's the same universe,
instead
different area.
East Coast, it is West Coast. So, you know, it's over on this side, L.A.
Do you know the timeline? Because I don't remember it saying the timeline.
It did not say the timeline, but from what I understand, this is really, really, really early in the zombie outbreak is what they're kind of hinting at. And if you guys have actually watched any of The Walking Dead, you know that part of Kirkman's idea on how zombies became the way they are, if you guys remember, I think it's season 3, I think it was, that they were hinting at that every last human being has this in them. So every time you die, every person, no matter who it is, they die, whether they were bitten or not bitten, has the potential to become a zombie. So, and this is because, hold on, this is the really good twist part for you. This is because of vaccines. Everybody getting inoculated got inoculated with a type of virus that causes the zombie virus. So that's kind of what they've hinted at.
Interesting.
That's what they've hinted at. They haven't, you know, confirmed it. So that's what we're coming back over to this part, where this is precursor to where The Walking Dead is.
And our co-host, who Ryan, unfortunately...
is another big Walking Dead fan.
Decided to forget it was Wednesday. Actually, it brought a good point, is we shouldn't spoil this too much, even though that's kind of our shtick.
Well, I have one thing, and this isn't too much of a spoiler. So, okay, you wake up, zombie apocalypse, and you start yelling? How is that a good idea?
My first, I would say the first thing, this is a spoiler, but heck, since it's kind of what I do.
Right.
The first thing you do is you wake up and you see some chick chewing the face off another person. The first thing you do is apparently freak out because of the drugs you were on.
Well, you know, now that's the thing, and you just did that. Now I got to go even farther at the spoiler,
Nope, because I did that on purpose.
All right. Okay.
There's a particular reason, because I want you to watch this episode and tell us what you think. Do you love this? Do you hate this? Do you think this is not this this new Walking Dead? Do you think it's going to be good
what
as
I
the
will
original
say,
or not?
What I
will Daryl be there?
What I will say. What I will say about this episode, this is not a spoiler or anything. This is not the same pace as The Walking Dead.
No, this one definitely starts
this
out
This one
slow.
Is a very slow burn, and it really gets you into the mindset of the early stages of the zombie outbreak.
Now, what I'm about to ask might seem a little weird. Do you think this one may, instead of being a little less, you know, it's still going to have the violence, but do you think this is going to get more intellectual, like how it caused, how this happened?
No. I think this one is going to get into how... I'm thinking of how I want to phrase this, because I already know way ahead of where The Walking Dead is going, because I'm in the couple hundreds of the comic book as well, so I have to be cautious in what I say, because this could also be a spoiler for The Walking Dead
fans. You see how
hard
it is, Real Flix Reviews,
so,
not to do spoilers?
What this one, I believe, is going to show is how certain groups got put together. And how they kind of tried to build camps to protect themselves against the zombie outbreak. That's what I think it's going to be. And you're going to see a lot of characters. This isn't quite a spoiler for Walking Dead fans, as long as you're up to season 3 in Walking Dead. You're going to see how characters like the governor came around. And people like that.
And with that being said, make sure you watch this pilot. Tell us what you think.
It's a good pilot, actually.
We're really
slow, but good.
I really want to know what you think, and I know James does, kind of. And just to let you know that we do have a Facebook page. You love us, hate us, do you think we suck? Write us an air, and we'll read you.
I'll at least tell you what I think.
And
idiot.
If you happen to like us, how about donating? How about Pause for the Cost or Old Guy Tech TV so we can keep the lights on for you, just like the Accord Motels?
$10 for every single thing you point in.
And
okay, hold on. I actually wanted to bring one thing up about. I'm sorry to jump back on Fear of the Walking Dead. Now, did you notice that the dad had me do a double take, and this is going to lead into my news, of Shyamalan Ding Dong.
He did, and the son looked like Johnny Depp.
He did. I actually had to look it up. It is not Shyamalan Ding Dong, and I don't think he's really related or a brother, but he might be a third cousin.
He must not be named.
And speaking of Shyamalan Ding Dong, guess what he's doing with Hair Lip? For you people out there who don't know who Hair Lip is, that is Joaquin Phoenix, who cannot sing
shit
like Johnny Cash. Thank you. Moving on. So, ooh, he is on board with Shyamalan Ding Dong, moving on to a new project. Do you think it's going to be any good? It's going to be taken in the hometown of Philadelphia, where Shyamalan Ding Dong supposedly resides.
Is it going to be like the Prince of Bel-Air? Before? What's it going to be?
They haven't gotten into anything. This is just a new thing that's coming out. Do you think it's going to be a success like all those other things that are crap?
Okay, so my personal opinion, I don't like him because personally I think he's probably the most predictable director out there, even though he did Unbreakable and other movies that for the time I thought...
Unbreakable was one of his better ones.
I think they were revolutionary. Like Sixth Sense I thought was fairly revolutionary. I want it to be successful because I hate really seeing people fail, but no, I think it's going to suck out loud.
Yeah, I mean...
I even like Joaquin Phoenix. Let's continue.
I've got mixed feelings about you, Joaquin. I think that...
Oh, that's right. He's watching Real Flix Reviews and really wants to know what you think of him.
I'm kind of biting my tongue on some things here. But you are a person I love to hate. Let me just put it that way. And if that's what you're going for, you're doing a fantastic job. Keep it up, then. But... I don't think he did as great of a job as everybody claims he does. I think Shyamalan Ding Dong, you've had successes. I mean, I got to give him props on The Sixth Sense. But outside of that, you just read Alfred Hitchcock and rip off his stories, dude.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Even The Village was kind of like...
Mm. Yeah, that was a total ripoff of a Hitchcock.
And in all honesty, I actually liked it. I actually thought it was one of his better movies, which is not saying much, considering the best part of his career was really kind of the start of it. Two things is on the Real Flix Reviews Facebook page, we have a couple of amazing interviews with Quentin Tarantino. And if you've watched Real Flix Reviews, you know that we pretty much will watch anything he's made except Jackie Brown.
I have seen Jackie Brown. I won't do it again.
Yeah, I've seen all of his movies once. Jackie Brown, that's all I'll ever see it. So I'm actually really excited about The Hateful Eight because, well, I love his movies. And it's going to be on 70mm, and it's going to be another Western, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, that'd be good. I like his Westerns.
I don't know if you've checked out the interview. It's actually pretty
amazing. I haven't seen it. I haven't had time to sit down and watch it yet.
It's a text article.
Oh, okay.
So I've got, there's a couple on there, and they're actually quite amazing. I don't want to spoil it too much for you, but I don't think you get enough, like, actual thoughtful interviews with Quentin Tarantino, because I think everybody generally just asks fairly lame questions.
You know, I think everybody with Quentin Tarantino, you know, they're way too big of fans of him. You know, I'm a big fan of his.
But I think you can be.
But I would give a legitimate thing. I'd be like, why are you a douche sometimes?
Well, I mean, I think you can be a fan of him.
I love him, though. I do love Quentin
Tarantino. I think you can be a fan of Quentin Tarantino and ask actual really thoughtful questions besides, hey, the bride, why did she do this? And, you know, I don't know. I just think that sucks. And the other one is...
what was in the briefcase?
Exactly.
Any fan of him knows what I'm talking about.
And here's something I just love to see. Quentin Tarantino still holding on to that idea for a sci-fi movie. I'd love to see his thing on a sci-fi. I don't know if it would be any good. Because not all 70 sci-fi movies are good. But I really want it. I would pay good money to see his sci-fi. I'd do a Kickstarter because I happen to really like him.
So donate to Real Flix so we can donate to Quentin Tarantino's sci-fi.
Exactly.
$50 will donate 30. What?
Five.
Oh, come on. Five at a time.
And
you did like my thing, huh?
Yeah, I wanted you to.
All right, so
this is a little off movie news, but
they are, you know, but we cover movies and television, and part of television is you get into things like anime, and now this is not you. I really hate calling Avatar: The Last Airbender anime, because it is not from Japan.
It's anime-esque.
But it is very anime-esque, and that's why I'm okay with saying anime and throwing
it
in there.
I would say it was more like an American take on anime, but...
anime?
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to get in Dragon Ball Z anyways. Guys, but...
well, because it's 5 hours of...
it is. But they are kind of doing a spin-off of Avatar following around Fire Lord...
Zuko.
Thank
see,
you.
That's the one I really want to see.
I want to... you know, I actually kind of wanted to see his uncle and his dad back in their day.
Oh, that would have been... because
his uncle, I mean, that dude is just freaking crazy.
Because, see, hopefully they start doing more back more, because I'll be honest, I didn't like Korra. I just couldn't get into it. Maybe because I really
Korra
liked the
regular
one.
Okay, but Korra was more for a young generation. Avatar was, it seemed like it had enough for the kids and enough for the young adults into our
I'll,
age.
Korra
was more focused on young kids.
I totally said the first episode, the first season I thought was okay. And after that, I just couldn't dig. But I just kind of assumed that I fall in love with the character Aang, not Ung.
Another Shyamalan.
I thought that was the reason I couldn't get into it, just because I truly fell in love with that character and the character set around him.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
even Fire Lord, and you even got to like really get to be a fan of his uncle.
Yeah,
so, I forget what they actually called him. What was his nickname? Do you remember?
Dragon or?
Yeah, I think it was like the Dragon Lord.
Oh, like the Dragon of the East. Or...
yeah, something like that. It was something interesting that he had a nickname for from his previous battles. So, you know, he had a skill, and he even showed him, you know, that's where they got that thing where they could shoot the fire out of there, because his uncle was one who came up with that technique type thing. That's some pretty cool things that his uncle had in his repertoire that he hid. So I would be interested in seeing it, because when you get into Korra, you got Fire Lord Zuko, like, really cool, you know, so...
Maybe I'll have to. Maybe I'll have to try to force myself to watch it because I couldn't.
But the thing
I couldn't
had
get into
an
it.
Issue with was is you got Aang, and then Aang brought peace, and then you had Zuko, who had changed and was more of a peaceful guy. So what story are you going to be telling?
Like Luke Skywalker, the battle within himself. The first, that's it. The first couple of years, like right after he became, because this would probably be a good way to bring in young Aang.
Or, you know, he's got to fight some of the Lotus, the White Lotus.
Yeah. So I don't know. There's quite a lot of stories.
Yeah,
I got, but before we get end, I've got one more. Aren't they too old for this shit question? Lethal Weapon 5. Would
talking about Mel Gibson and
Danny
Glover?
See, I love the first Lethal Weapon, in my opinion,
Isn't
is amazing.
Danny Glover with a cane now?
Yeah.
Or what are those things? A walker?
And Mel Gibson's almost dead from being angry. I'll be honest.
Those juice.
I gotta say, I love the Lethal Weapon series, except really the second one and the fourth one. So I like two of the four. I guess that's not too bad. I don't want to see
really,
this.
The second one?
I don't like the second one.
You don't like the third one?
The third one I like, but the third one's a comedy. Well, because that's the one we had, one of the machine guns and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I actually don't want to see this. I have no desire to see it. Just like the new Ghostbusters,
Think I've seen the.
The fourth one's with Jet Li.
What's the Bruce Willis one? Lethal Weapon. Oh, no, these are Lethal Weapons. What was the other one? It was Lethal Weapon and...
Oh, Die Hard.
Die Hard. Yeah, I haven't seen the most recent Die Hard.
Oh, yeah, Die Hard. No, Die Harder.
Die Harder with your kid, you know, type thing. I don't know, what the hell? It's like,
Let's meet death with the family. Dos vidas.
Yeah, I just couldn't do it.
So, no, this is a series I actually think they either need to die...
Die Hard.
Die off. Or somehow reboot
Make
it.
Make it stop.
See, the only way, because this article kind of talks about having Martin, Martin Riggs and Danny Glover's character, whatever his character is, you know, kind of teach new cops how to do their thing. If they could reboot it in a respectful way, I'll be fine. But since they can't, stop it. They're too old. And, well, I'd rather see Mel Gibson direct than act, personally. Any comments before we end the show?
I'm just kind of wondering, I think this is the result of the Expendables, honestly. I'm halfway expecting, Van Damme to come out with another kickboxer.
Actually,
I mean, because you already
That can't actually happen, and I can tell you why.
Let me just finish. Let me just finish what I'm saying. Because you got Sylvester Stallone, who just recently did a new Rambo.
You got
one where he also did a new Rocky thing.
And there's going to be another Rocky or another
And then
Rambo.
You got Bruce Willis who comes out with the Die Harders. And you got Arnold Schwarzenegger doing Terminators. I mean, now we're just missing Van Damme.
Well, according to...
Right?
According to...
Come on, think about it.
Well, he can't... Believe it or not, his character in Kickboxer is dead.
But I'm not saying he won't.
He'll
take a cyborg and bring it up and mix it and match it. And,
I got
know,
it.
That's one of his other movies.
I got it. Quest 2.
Oh, God. Is Sir Roger Moore dead?
I think he's still alive somehow.
Stay away from it, dude. Just stay away from it.
Say yes. Say yes. Everybody needs another bad 80s-esque fight movie.
But the way that I look at it is you can't really count the other guys who are part of the Expendables. You got Jet Li, and you can't throw Jackie Chan in. No, because they're not part of that era.
No.
It's Stallone. It's Bruce Willis. It's Mel Gibson.
Dolph Lundgren.
And the Schwarzenegger. Those are the guys from the 90s and 80s who were doing these big action movies.
I don't think you could...
I don't think they have much left except for, Lundgren and...
Lundgren...
Hey. Lundgren, hold on. Dark Angel Returns. Yeah! How awesome would that be?
Oh, jeez.
What?
Just funny. I was going to say, Dolph Lundgren is actually a...
I like Dolph Lundgren.
We did show a trailer for it. It's called War Prey Pigs. It's a new Dolph Lundgren movie. It reminds me of the Expendables set in World War II. Tell us what you think. What we generally do is we'll find a movie that we least either think is going to suck or be interesting. We kind of let you decide what we think. And next week, I'm doing a movie that I have always wanted to finish, but I have never been able to because something always happens.
Taxi Driver?
I've turned that off. That something doesn't happen.
No,
I
no,
actually,
Taxi Driver was the Whoopi Goldberg one, I think.
Still turns it off. Magnificent Seven.
You've never finished it?
No. Something always happens, literally, every time I want to do it. And I love Yul Brynner.
All
right. I guess that's a...
Yeah, okay.
So, wow. I'm kind of disappointed.
I'm saving things for next week.
So, we're doing Magnificent Seven. So, I gave the movie Ant-Man a 3 to 5. James gave it a 3 to 5. And since Ryan doesn't own a calendar and the old guy's not here, can't apparently depend on them for what scores are going to get. And
what show are we doing next week?
I don't know. All right. Oh, actually... Yes, we do.
I was going to say, it's going to be a surprise, like this week.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm totally down with doing it another surprise. This one is one from actually Ryan, and got from Ryan, and if I can get my freaking iPad to work. Nothing like being on the spot when your technology decides to freak out on you, isn't it? You got to get us pulled.
Boom, boom.
Jackass.
What? That's how it goes.
So it's Mr. Ryan wants to do the movie, TV series, Mr. Robot. It's with...
Alrighty, then.
The cast and crew, if my stupid iPad decides to actually work again.
Is this a comedy?
No. This is a USA movie. It has, Christian Slater.
Wow. He's alive?
Yeah. So this is the one Ryan said it would look interesting. Wow. So that's the one we're going to do. And we may end up surprising, you know, all the rest of the stuff on you because, well, we like to keep you in suspense.
Why not?
So next week is going to be The Magnificent Seven along with being Mr. Robot. And as always, we'll see you next week.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.